Thank you, Mr. West Tuttle. Let's open the Bibles to the Gospel of John 16. You are more, I mean, it's not that the Sunday morning crowd are not serious to me and important to me, but you're the ones that are important. And I just have to share with you something that is troubling me very greatly inside. And that is that on Sunday morning in the second service, this last Sunday, it was under 30 minutes of teaching. People at Baptist churches do more than that. And so I'm either going to, I'm going to do one or the other. Either I'm going to take the 9:30 and make it back to Tuesday and go back to 10 o'clock on Sunday morning, or I'm going to knock the Sunday morning back, the early one back to 9, and the 9 to 10, and the second service start at 10:30, or 10:15. So I'm going to do one or the other, because that's just not... And then we cut, not that we're a great singing church anyway, but we sing one hymn and just three verses of it. And that's not fellowship time together. And so Sunday morning worship is not Sunday morning worship in the second service. We don't get any adequate teaching time-wise. And I wouldn't be sure I throw that in time-wise. And we don't get any really worship in. And yes, sir.
No, I was going to say, on the second service, don't forget, too, you got all your announcements, you got passing the plate, both 10 hours.
That's what I'm saying. But by the time we do everything, we're less than 30 minutes of teaching.
So that cuts into the Elijah thing, like, that's last Sunday, he had a long list, which
I'm not going to teach. Well, I'm just saying. But it's, we're just not doing well as far as the teaching time. And, I don't like that. I'm here to teach, and so we'll look at. So just as far as y'all are concerned, how many want the do it 9 o'clock on Sunday morning? Okay, and how many want to do it Tuesday night? Okay, all right. I need to be in prayer about that. And Chris and Lord Dag, how y'all doing? You vote both ways. Whatever y'all are voting on, I vote both ways. Okay. Had a wonderful time in Tucson last week with Tucson Bible Church and John Hintz's assembly. And they, like I said, it's just like teaching here, teaching there. And so I'm looking at maybe in September bringing John down for a week, and I'm just going to hope and pray that this assembly will come and adjust their lives for 1 week of the 50 some weeks we have in a year, for 2 weeks a year, and worship together and enjoy his teaching. But we'll just have to see how that goes. Now, as far as Thomas is concerned, went up there and saw the young man today. And today was his day of rest. He's doing fine. He's got a little, normal problems and all, but he's okay. And they'll do the transplant tomorrow. Transplanting stem cells will be at the hospital around 1. And so, I mean, they got this thing down to timing. So when they can start the transplanting process. So we need to be in prayer for him today, tonight, tomorrow, and then receiving the stem cells, that his body will respond and receive them. And be good if he could just be in there the least amount of time, about 45 days, and the most could be 90 days. So it could be that way. And so we need to be in prayer for young Thomas, for Rick and Terry, and just be in prayer for each other. Okay.
Could we be in prayer for my brother Johnny?
Yes. Tish's brother Johnny, I know well, he had a hip replacement surgery, and right now he's not doing real well.
He's got an infection. he's got an infection.
Got an infection.
They're going to try to get rid of the infection. If they can't, they have to take out the implant, get rid of the infection, and start all over again.
Oh, that's going to hurt.
Oh, wow.
So we got to hope, pray that the infection goes away.
Yeah. Got to take care of my old hips.
Yeah.
Take care of them hips. And my heart. And my kidney. And my liver. Everything. And let's be in prayer for our camp. 92?
Yes, sir.
92 children. And is there room for any more?
No, sir.
No, sir.
They are full.
Full.
Physically.
That's it.
Full. We have two buses now.
Two buses?
Two buses.
Wow.
Well, yeah, one. Okay, so one's the small bus. We're putting certain high school is on a short
bus. Bus and a half.
I like that certain one. Yes.
No, we are full.
This is so wonderful.
Amazing.
And what a great challenge. I told them Sunday morning that I met Buck. And they're going to be really pleased to have Buck.
Yeah, I talked to him last week.
He's he's about 35. He's got that kid heart, and he's an ex-Ranger, and he's just going to be super. Be right there with Grady, and it's going to be a good camp. I want y'all to pray for the gospel to those that may not be believers in Jesus Christ, and for seeing the walking in the Spirit and spiritual love for those that are born again believers. So, let's see. Any other prayer requests we have? Johnny, Thomas, each other. Please be in prayer for each other. And the camp, the young people, the teachers, and the administrators. And yes, hon.
I would ask for prayer for a friend at work named Rhonda, and she had pneumonia.
Oh.
And it got stuck in between her heart and her lung. It's in the pulmonary artery or something.
Yes,
like that.
Yes, yes.
And so she survived.
She survived that.
Because usually when you
can it's usually over.
Going through your heart. So she was just so excited that she had prayer for herself. And
wow.
She felt that she was sure that was probably why she had survived. And so she's doing well, and they're putting her on a blood thinner and everything. But she wanted to thank.
Yeah. Well, we'll continue to be in prayer. The blood thinner takes care of that. My goodness. All right. Okay. And for the cooks at the camp, got to be in prayer for them.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah. Oh, believe me, I know. And, so, made sure. Dating her. Judith, can you cook? Are you sure you can cook? She said, yeah. Okay. Yes, hon. Going through some hard time. All right.
Mary.
Lord knows who, and we'll just be in prayer. Laurie's friends. Yes.
I've got a person, Karen, I think her last name, her name is Karen.
Well, Karen.
And she's a former ex-in-law kind of person that I know, and she's in severe depression right now.
Okay. Get her the sad tapes.
Oh, that would be good.
Yeah.
Give it a shot.
Yeah.
Oh.
That might be a good idea.
I hope y'all continue to be in prayer for the lady at the bank whose little infant child died in December. Actually died in November. And gave her the disc on the sad. And last few times I've been to the bank, she hadn't been there. So I don't know what's going on there. But need to be in prayer. Them. Yes.
My mom and dad need a lot of
prayer. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Two weekends of swimming school, and he's had an effect on him, huh? Oh, that was your dad. Okay, that's right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll be in prayer for your mom and dad. All right. Where do your mom and dad live?
Up in Indiana.
Indiana. Okay. Please be in prayer. And thank you for sharing that with us. Any anything else? Yes.
Ended up that they took the money to the bank to deposit it, and the lady that was taking the money to the bank was, I don't know who she was talking to, but she was talking to somebody, And some man in line behind her just said, here's $10.
Wow.
And anyway, that is
what that was kind of. That is neat. Wow. Terry told me that. I forgot. But yeah,
yeah,
that is so, that's mm-hmm. cool. Those kind of things get you. They make their effect.
And another, I think it's a band parent, put his name on a prayer request for the Christian station. And so they say a prayer for him and ask everyone to be in.
On the radio station, yeah. Yeah.
Cool too.
So, okay, let's get into our study. We've missed last week. And so let's move into our study tonight. First of all, a word of prayer. Purpose of the prayer, to test yourself, to see if you're trusting in the Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in our journey here on earth, we've come to realize we will have tribulation as prophesied and told us by our Savior. But you have provided everything necessary to make it through, regardless of the source of the tribulation, the degree of the suffering of the tribulation. You have provided everything necessary. Father, I pray now that your Spirit will open our eyes to these things as we go through and finish up the Gospel of John 16. Father, we pray these things now in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, John 16, verse 33, to kind of get us going in our study of the Gospel of John. And I appreciate you coming, knowing that we're going to finish this up. We also are teaching this same thing for those of you that may be just listening to the John series. In Romans chapter 5, we have exalting in tribulation. So we're going through a lot of these same things there. But I want it on the John study, because just for those that are studying the Gospel of John. And these things, and again, I think this goes back to the beginning of chapter 13, the Upper Room Discourse. These things I have spoken to you, communicated to you for your advantage, data of advantage, that in me you may have peace. Now, he's already said, in me you have joy. In me you may have peace. And the point here is that subjunctive mood, you may have, which means you may not have. It's entirely up to you whether you experience this peace or not. Now, in the world, you have tribulation. This is indicative mood. It's reality. You will have tribulation. You can't get away great from it, whether you're a believer or unbeliever. But here in a believer, it's related to the spiritual warfare. You will have tribulation. You may or may not have peace in the midst of the tribulation, but you will have tribulation. So that took us to a study in the understanding of tribulation. I did this study in Tucson, and a wonderful, faithful man for many, many years in John's church, and he drives further than you do, I'm sorry, but he comes in every class from Sierra Vista, and he came up and he said, well, he's probably 75, and he came up and he said, well, I've heard every one of your conferences, and this is the second best. And he said the first best was Job. That opened up so much. And so I told him I appreciated that. And I don't think it's an accident that we're inundated with this in two studies at the same time, John 16, Romans 5. No accidents. And so I certainly didn't plan it. And so let's go through where we left off 2 weeks ago, Doctrine of Tribulation. And there we've looked at the Greek word philipsis, means to crush, to press, to squeeze, to break, and tribulation, trouble, affliction, suffering. And the ideal is that tribulation is designed to squeeze your perseverance of faith. That's the whole issue. What is important in the word? The fact that it is external or internal. The source of it, and all these things. It's amazing how sometimes it can be an abundant external to the person, individual, nothing. But boy, you let it get inside, and it becomes very heavy to a person. Other people are just the opposite. Things on the outside just tear them down. Things on the inside, they have a way of trusting the Lord with it. So, but it can be internal, external. Do not try to figure out where the tribulation is coming from. This is my driving overall principle in an introduction to any study of tribulation, suffering, affliction. Don't try to figure out if it's from God, from Satan, from the world, or self-inflicted from sin. Don't try to figure it out in your own soul, for your own self, and don't try to judge where it's coming from other people. We don't know. The things that are going across America right now, we are just inundated with tornadoes, droughts, fires, floods, just so much going on. And is this of God? Is this of Satan? Or is this just the process of the weather? What's going on here? Well, I personally believe that it's not God causing it, but he's pulled back the restraining ministry. And when he pulls back the restraining ministry, more tribulation abounds. You remember that in the Great Tribulation, the last seven years of the age of history of Israel, it's called the Great Tribulation. Why? What happens at the very beginning of the tribulation period? Anybody can tell me? Huh? The what? Spirit's gone. The restraining ministry of the Holy Spirit is removed. 2 Thessalonians. And therefore, when that happens, there's just tribulation is going to be a natural result. It has nothing to do that it's directly from God or Satan. It's just restraining ministry. People, we don't know how many times, and all. I think when I get to heaven, I really do, I'm going to meet about two or three, four different sets of guardian angels. That some of them just quit. When they were guarding me when I was driving as a teenager. And after about a year, we quit. And then another crew came in. We quit. And so we just don't know. None of us know how close we've come to death and torment and terror in our lives. We just don't know. And so it just is one of those things of the restraining ministry. Okay. Now, point one, Old Testament background in the study of the word tribulations. This is not an in-depth study of the Old Testament, obviously. That would take 6 months. This is just, I want to pull the main principle of tribulation that we get from the Old Testament. Tribulation is a result of sin, the toil of man, anguish, tribulation, childbirth, all the things that you read in the curse of man. Man, you'll work by the sweat of your brow. Women are childbirth. And the earth is under curse now. So all these things that are just the result of sin. Just being a member of the human race. Two, God often brings tribulation, and we studied the Ezekiel passage. Three, tribulation brought on by the adversary Satan. Four, the world due to its hatred of God and hatred of the Messiah and hatred of you if you're a witness of Jesus Christ. Roman numeral 2, New Testament introduction to tribulation. One, the word is most often used to describe the sufferings of people of God, believers in Jesus Christ, the church. Do unbelievers suffer tribulation? Absolutely. Has nothing to do with our tribulation. Our tribulation is designed in regard to our relationship with Him, His Son, His Spirit. Two, the suffering of tribulation by believers is a part of the sharing of the suffering of Christ. The very important passage, Philippians 3:10, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being conformed to His death. So every time you go through tribulations, people, you may not want to think that way. But I'm just here to tell you, when you endure tribulations, physical, family, financial, health, others, whatever it is, you're suffering in fellowship with Jesus Christ. It's a test of your faith. Three, remember, no matter how difficult or challenging your tribulation may be, they do not compare with what is going to be experienced in the 7 years of tribulation in the last 7 years of the history of Israel. Roman numeral 3, tribulations due to decisions in life. They're not from God, not from Satan, not from the world. They're just decisions in life. Sin. Suffering from rejection of authority. Suffering from violation of the law, criminal activity. Suffering from immorality. And a lot of times there's going to be suffering with immorality. Not all the time. You have to be very careful with these things and the absoluteness of them. I like to use the example. Two single girls get involved in sexual immorality before they marry, or outside of marriage, whatever we'll say, before they marry. One gets pregnant, one's not. Well, see there, she got pregnant from divine discipline from God. If you do that, then you've got to conclude, well, then God was blessing the other one. So you can't do those kind of things. God works with each one of us differently. But there's going to be repercussions and often tribulation from immorality, even if it's just soul. That's why I gave back the one, inner and outer, external. Sometimes just be inner. Immorality brings inner conflict, inner turmoil, inner struggle, as well as in our lives. Four, suffering from divine discipline, from the love of God, and can be turned into blessing by faith recovery, by faith in the Holy Spirit. B, poor decisions in regard to health, drinking, drugs, smoking, overeating. Cannot blame God or the world or Bluebell. C, poor decisions in regard to romance. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just saying sometimes some men, some women have fallen in love with someone and their whole life's nothing but tribulation. Just turmoil. And they just seem to be able to go through it. And four, tribulation in the world, in life, war, weather diseases, earthquakes, tornadoes, heat, coldness, floods, tsunamis, volcanoes. Much of the world is in lack of food and good drinking water. Just tribulation in the world. Not necessarily from the world, tribulation in the world. Three, national disaster, economic depression, dictatorship, military police, unfairly judicial system, circumstances of life, like being an orphan or a widow. It just, there's the things that happen in the world. And all of these are designed to test your faith. Five, tribulation from people. Six, suffering from failure of living by faith. To me, this is one of the primary sources of tribulation in the believer's life. Failure to trust God, failure to walk by faith in the Holy Spirit, and failure to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. But I want to add a footnote to that. You can be walking by faith in the Holy Spirit. You can be growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. See? And still be going through tribulation. So you have to be careful with a point like that. Okay. Multitude of believers suffer from stress, anxiety, depression due to failure of keeping their mind stayed on Him. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee. Roman numeral 7, understanding tribulation. John 16:33, understanding of tribulation from the world can be a source of inner peace during the suffering of tribulation. Remember, that's why Jesus Christ said, I write these things. I tell you these things, communicating these things, that you may have peace. You will have tribulation, but that you may have peace. Two, tribulation, when from the world and or Satan, is always designed to break down one's faith from walking by faith, trusting in the Lord, walking by faith in the Spirit. But again, do not try to figure out the source. Doesn't matter. I know I'm getting to where I'm overusing it, but it just makes it communicate so well. You go into the doctor with a gunshot wound, it doesn't matter if it was friendly fire, enemy fire, self-induced. He's still going to deal with it the same way. We still deal with tribulation the same way in the spiritual realm. All right, do not try to figure it out. Three, tribulation is designed to crush the spirit of man, crush your faith in the Holy Spirit, crush your will to go on growing in the Word of God, to stop following Jesus Christ. Four, it's the ultimate goal of tribulation to eliminate the presence of Jesus Christ from the world, get rid of all who witness for Him, to darken any and all influence of Him in society. So every time a believer does not give in, does not faint from being a witness of Jesus Christ, Satan loses and the light of Christ continues where it may not have been, it would not have been if they given in. This is a very important point here. It's what the whole design is, to eliminate the witness of Jesus Christ. And what always happens is just a twist on him, because when a believer doesn't give in, it even grows, the light of Christ even shines brighter. Five, one of the greatest issues of tribulation is the perseverance of faith during the suffering, as in the case of Job, and we noted that. Now point eight, Roman numeral eight, biblical study of tribulation in the New Testament. Okay, one, tribulation is not able to separate us from the love of God, Romans 8:5. Does not matter the source of the tribulation. I don't care if it's sin. It does not separate us from the love of God. Always remember that when you're enduring tribulation, suffering, adversity, hurt in life. Two, the challenge for the believer is to persevere in tribulation. And we looked at Romans 12:10-13. It doesn't matter the source. Keep your eyes fixed on Him. Three, if you do not have a solid foundation in the Word of God and rooted in the love of God, you will not persevere very long in tribulation. Matthew 13:20-21. Point four. And here, let's see. We are promised tribulation from the hatred of the world from the beginning of the church. And this is Matthew 24:8-9, John 15:16, where Jesus Christ prophesied hating the hatred by the world, suffering and tribulation from the world. Not just in the world, but from the world. Acts 14:22. This is from the beginning throughout the church age, that we are enter the kingdom of God through much suffering. And we looked up all of these passages before. 1 Thessalonians 1:6, 2 Thessalonians 1:4, Hebrews 10:23, 32-39, we looked at all of those. And then we noted the church in Smyrna under great tribulation. They kept their witness of Jesus Christ. Five, tribulations can be extremely severe. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9, almost to the point of death for Paul. Now, how much faith do you have? But how, it's not how much faith you have. How easy or difficult is it for you to continue to trust Him? That's the great issue. It's not a matter of God is looking for more faith when we're going through tribulation. It's still the grain of mustard seed of faith. But it may be more difficult for you to give that grain of mustard seed as the tribulation continues and just continues. I'm amazed. Now, I know every one of you go through tribulation. I know that. Personally, I may not know what you're going through. I know it. But with Rick and Terry, it's so obvious to see. And I'm just amazed at their perseverance. I'm amazed. Up there today, and she's just smiling and was very strong. And it's been, how many months? 3 months now? Huh? Yeah. So it's been a long time. And 4 months. And yet, this is the perseverance. So it's not how much faith you have. It's can you give Him just that little grain of mustard seed of faith? Six, if you're suffering for the glory of Christ because of your witness of Christ, it is light when compared with eternity. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Seven, God uses tribulation to move some people in diaspora. Acts 11:19. Eight, here's one that serves as a warning, tribulation in marriage. 1 Corinthians 7:28. I want us to turn to 1 Corinthians 7:28. I want y'all to see. Didn't make this up. Study in tribulation. You do a word study and you find every passage where it is. Look at me at 1 Corinthians 7:28. But if you should marry, you have not sinned. And if a virgin should marry, she has not sinned. Yet you will have trouble, that's our word, in this life. And I am trying to spare you of it. But it's just, you're going to have tribulation in marriage. It's not her fault, it's not his fault. It's not the dog's fault. It's just, you're going to have it. And I got news for you, though I can't find a verse that says it, you have tribulation in a single life. Don't say amen, Steve. And have tribulation in single life. Okay. Roman numeral 9. Rejoicing in tribulation and one another. This is dealing with tribulation and relationship with other believers. 1. God comforts a believer in tribulation? 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4. The question here is, how does God comfort in tribulation? And He comforts by His Spirit and by His Word. 2, we are to encourage others who are in tribulation. And we've looked at Acts 14, 22, 1 Thessalonians 3, 2 through 8, 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 and 4. 3, joy can be yours in tribulation by your thinking of others. We looked at 2 Corinthians 8, 2. 4, we should help others who are in tribulation, especially in the spiritual warfare. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 and 15. 5, Paul and all pastor teachers, missionaries, often suffer, but one of the comforts and encouragement is hearing that those they minister are walking by faith. 1 Thessalonians 3:7. 6, what do you desire for people to say about you? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I'm having a lot of fun studying 1 Corinthians 1. And all Paul just deals in the first half of 1 Corinthians 1, all the blessings that God has done, all things God has given them. But he doesn't say anything about these poor people, because they do not even begin to compare with the believers in Thessalonica, Philippi, Colossae. They don't. And those, it's your faith, it's your love, it's your contribution, it's this and that. He doesn't have anything good to say about the Corinthian believers. The only thing to say good about them is, God's done a lot for y'all. And that's about it. And so, this is a very important point. Now, point 10. Exalting in tribulation. This is really the heart of our study. Why and how can you exalt in tribulation? We are exhorted many times to exalt in our tribulations. Romans 5, 3, James 1, 2, and 3, count it all joy. Romans 12, 12. 1, okay, now we're talking about exalting in tribulation. To exalt in tribulation requires two major things given going on in your life. 1, being filled with the Holy Spirit, strengthened in the power of the Holy Spirit out of Ephesians. Walking by the Holy Spirit, being led by the Holy Spirit, living by the Holy Spirit, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit out of Galatians 5. This is absolutely essential for exalting in tribulation, counting a joy, is to be in the power of the Holy Spirit. Secondly, the second thing required, growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, being rooted and grounded, goes back to the passage in Matthew that we looked, where the spiritual seed, the Word, had not taken root, and the tribulation came, and it didn't last very long. 2, exalting in tribulation demands walking by faith. 3, why should we exalt in tribulation? When you realize that by your perseverance in tribulation, you encourage others, maybe even bringing them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you will respond by joy for your tribulation. Colossians 1, 24. Now this is where we left off 2 weeks ago, at this point right here. So this is where we left off. So let's take a look together at Colossians 1, 24. We did not do this, so let's take a look now. Colossians 1, 24. This study is so important to me. I think it's meritorious that we spend the time to look up some of these passages, because every one of us go through tribulation. If there's anyone here that doesn't go through tribulation, sure, put up your hand. I'd love to meet you. No tribulation. None? Oh, man. All right. Okay. So we all do it. So let's look at Colossians 1:24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I do my share on behalf of his body, which is the church, in filling up that which is lacking in Christ's afflictions. So this is a very important point in dealing with suffering. Point 5. We exalt in tribulation because of what tribulation adds to our lives here on earth. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. Romans 5:3. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. We should exalt in our tribulations. We should exalt in them. Now, I'd like you to look at James chapter 1. We keep talking about it. It's time to look at it. James 1. James 1:2. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Now, we will study both these passages in greater detail later on in other studies, but exalting and considering it joy both depend on knowing the truth and the power of God, the Holy Spirit. They both dependent on that. Now, by the way, both these words in Romans chapter 5, perseverance brings about, or tribulation brings about perseverance. In the James passage where you just read, produces endurance. They're both the same Greek word. Upo, mone. And we'll be taking a look at that in the Romans study. Point 6. Exalting in tribulation is being oriented to the revelation of Jesus Christ. Exalting in tribulation is being oriented to the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:12. So if you will look with me at 1 Peter 4:12. Very important passage. All right, 1 Peter 4:12. Beloved believers in Jesus Christ, very important that you and I realize we're to love one another because we're chosen by Christ. You don't get to choose who you're going to love with spiritual love. Jesus Christ did the choosing. He chose that person. Now you and I have the privilege of simply loving that person. Beloved, do not be surprised by fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. Okay, now the King James says, think it not strange. Then, as though some strange thing was happening to you. Now the reason that they do that is because it's the same word. It's the same root word. Strange. At the first part and last part. Now, let's look at it. Think it not strange. Okay. As though some strange thing. People, why would we be surprised? Do not be surprised or think it strange. Do you ever think that? Why is this happening to me? I'm not doing any big sins. I'm going to church. I'm giving some money. I sing. I witness when the opportunity's there. Why is this happening? Now, I don't know for a fact, but I imagine Rick and Terry have asked themselves that. Why is this happening? It's strange. We don't think it's so strange if we committed some horrible sin, do we? Well, I really deserve this. Your thinking's wrong. Let's clarify that. But it's flesh thinking. I did bad, I get bad. I expect it. But I did good. And now this strange thing, these strange things are happening to me. I love what Peter's just very, very, he's like the common man here. Just, this is strange. I don't understand this. That's what he's saying here. I help everyone. I treat people in love, even spiritual love. I don't understand. This is a strange thing to happen to me. This is something I just did not think would happen to me. See? Do not be surprised. Look at our passage. Do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal. The King James, fiery trial. The NIV, painful trial. Now the Greek word is pyrosis. Comes from the Greek word to burn, fire. Turn on the heat. It would be our common expression today, our lay expression. Boy, they turn on the heat. And our coach turned on the heat. Our parents turned on the heat. Meaning, they're upset. Things are getting hot in here. See? So it's used for things that happen in our lives that are painful. Really painful. So do not be surprised. And I like the word fiery. It means painful, burning, hot. Things going on. Painful trials, okay. But I'm a dramatist. I like drama. Fiery. A fiery ordeal among you. See? Among believers. Now, which comes upon you. Now look, we're told why. Why tribulation? Here you have it. Which comes upon you for your testings. See, this is where I started with. It's all designed to test your faith, people. Tribulation, fiery ordeals are designed for the testing of our faith. As though some strange thing were happening to you. These strange things are not strange people to us, are they? We now understand from our study the part of spiritual warfare. Our Savior warned them that they would warned us that they would happen. So why these strange things? They're not strange. We understand that. Verse 13. But contrast of your thoughts when under tribulation. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, okay? Well, first of all, we know why the fire ordeals come. They're not strange to us. They're part of spiritual warfare. What are they for? For the testing of your faith. Now, look, but to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ. I wonder how many times we experience fiery trials, tribulation, suffering in life. I wonder how many of us think of the sufferings of Christ at that time. Well, I really can't compare what I'm going through with Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's Savior. And His sufferings were unique to that. And I can't do that. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. Right here. It's what we should do. We're going through suffering. I don't care what kind it is. I don't care if it's physical, of someone you love or yourself. I don't care if it's finance. I don't care where it's coming from. Weather, whatever. However these things come, it's going to be tribulation. And you can and should immediately think of your relationship with Christ. Now, what will this do? Give you arrogance? No. It lets you know, I need to walk by faith here. I need to keep on trusting. I need to reflect the glory of Christ here. See? Now, I'm going to tell you the saddest person in the body of Christ. That's the believer who doesn't want any tribulation. They don't want to share the sufferings of Christ. And there are believers that are like that. But boy, at the resurrection, appearance of the resurrection, you're not going to be able, as we've got a verse coming up, sharing that joy with Him. Only when you and I share. See, it's that teamwork together. It's like that example I gave you a couple of weeks ago, that little boy, and the plan to get put me in, coach. Hey, you've already got a broken nose. I know, but I can't sit on the bench. My team's out there playing. I want to be part of it. I want to be part of it. That should be our attitude in Christ. Okay. this is tribulation, and the best thing in the world, but I'm glad I'm in the game, as it were. I'm glad I'm in the conflict. I'm glad that God considered me worthy to suffer for my Savior and bear the witness of Christ. That's how we can count it joy, people. That's how we can exult in it. Take that little boy sitting on a bench, and finally his name is called. All right, Charlie Brown, it's your turn. Boy, I mean, the adrenaline starts running as he grabs his helmet. The adrenaline starts running. I'm in. This is great. You could get hurt, yeah. Break a leg, yeah. Get killed, yeah. But I want in. Thank you. That's the joy we're talking about here, people. This is not some flimsy joy at a party. This is the joy of that little boy. I'm in the game now. This is the joy of a true soldier. I'm in the battle now. Yeah, I could get killed in the battle, but I'm in it. I'm not sitting on the sideline. See, this is how we can rejoice, people. But you got to think in the realm of Christ. You got to think in the realm of witnessing for Christ and your suffering in regard to Christ. That's what we're in this for. So this becomes so vital in our study. So it says, keep on rejoicing. Keep present, active, indicative. See, it goes right along. Here's the tribulation going this way, and here's your rejoicing. Just going right along with it. They're simultaneous. I'm in the battle, in the conflict. Keep on rejoicing. Thank you, Father, for counting me worthy to suffer for Jesus Christ. That's how you can count it joy. Well, I don't feel like this is really a big spiritual thing I'm going through. This is just financial. This is just, you know, this or that. People, I'm here to tell you, if you're going through tribulation, it's related to the spiritual conflict. You understand that? And I don't care what you think about what somebody else is going through, whether it's very big or they're self-induced or whatever. It's part of the spiritual warfare. That's what's crucial about this study, is to realize the things that go on in our lives, part of the spiritual warfare. We've been counted it worthy. So keep on rejoicing. Now look at your passage. Why do we keep on rejoicing? So that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. I feel sorry for the believer that cannot rejoice with exaltation at the revelation of Christ. I feel sorry for him. Can't rejoice. I really didn't suffer for him. People, every believer has that opportunity. Every time you have tribulation in your life, I don't care what it's from, financial, I keep trying to list them, but I'll miss somebody, I know. But whatever your suffering, tribulation, hurting is about, here's your solution. First Peter, right here. These are the passages you need to carry around with you when you're in tribulation. So that also, along with this suffering, at the rejoicing of the suffering, at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exaltation. So you rejoice in the midst of the, see, you're rejoicing in the midst of the tribulation, but also you rejoice at the revelation of Christ that you got to suffer with Him. This is powerful, people. So the best thing I can give you is that athlete, I'm in the game. A soldier, I'm in the battle. And the spiritual Christian, I'm in the battle. I have an opportunity to witness for Christ here, to suffer in regard to Christ here. And I count that joy that I'm in it. Does it hurt? You bet it hurts. That wouldn't be tribulation if it didn't hurt. But we have that joy of knowing, exalting with Him. So this is the suffering that we can experience in life. Okay. Any questions on that First Peter passage? First Peter 4, 12 and 13. All right. Okay. 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 I'm out of fellowship. I'm not walking by faith in the Spirit. He brings on discipline. Now, let's just say the discipline expands this period of time. Say it's 7 days. On day 4, I make spiritual recovery and I'm walking in the Spirit. Days 4, 5, 6, and 7, I turned into blessing. I turned into tribulation for the glory of Christ. You can turn the divine discipline into the tribulation that brings glory to God by being in the power of the Holy Spirit. Does that make sense? Okay. All right. Finally, point 11, summary point. It's hard to pull together everything, but these are just some highlight points. One, trials, tribulations, are attacks on Christian faith. Two, to reveal to you and to others, to angels, if you truly believe what you profess to believe. You know, a lot of times people go and come to Bible class, and then it hits them, and they just drop out. That's what happens sometimes to men in combat. They go through all the basic training, advanced training, and all that, and then when they actually get out and they hear real guns firing, they freak out. They can't handle it. So a lot of people that make really good what we call peacetime soldiers, boy, their gig line is straight, your shirt, and along with your belt and your zipper and all that, your gig line is straight. Boy, and I mean, they can parade so well. They look so good in a parade. Oh, they look good. Their shoes are shiny. Their brass sparkles. They look so good. Get them in combat. They couldn't do anything. They fall apart. So I'll tell you about a testing. Tribulation, it lets you know. Not just angels, lets you know. You know what? I've been faking it here. I really don't walk by faith. Look at me. The tribulation comes and I fall apart. Here I've been taking all this stuff, telling the boy and I, bragging to all. Look at all my notebooks I have and look at all that I know. Look at all the knowledge tests I can pass. But throw a conflict at you and you're not there. Point two, to reveal to you and to others and to angels if you truly believe what you profess to believe about the Holy Spirit, about the knowledge of Christ, the revelation of Christ, all these things. You're saved. You're saved. But when it comes to battle, you're just not there. Three, they provide an opportunity for the believer to grow spiritually. Tribulations provide an opportunity for the believer to grow spiritually as never before. That's what I was studying in Romans 5, that tribulation brings about perseverance. Perseverance is growing spiritually. Four, they provide an opportunity for the believer to glorify Christ, glorify God and Jesus Christ, as you would not be able to before. Unbelievers make it through trials, adversaries in their lives. Unbelievers of some religions make it through trials and adversities. Atheists make it through trials and adversities. But they cannot make it and glorify God and glorify Jesus Christ. Only the Spirit-filled believer who perseveres through tribulation can do that. See, this is what I'm saying. You have a privilege. This is why we count it joy. And the best example I can give you is those two examples. The guy in the football field, man, I'm going to get hit. I'm going to get beat up. I may get my nose broken, all that. But man, I'm glad I'm in this. I'm glad I'm in it. A soldier. There's a war going on. If there's a war going on, that's where a soldier wants to be. That's where I have to be. Can I get killed? Yep. Can I get a bullet through my brain? Yep. But I don't want to be sitting at home shuffling papers. Now, George Patton said shuffling something else, but we'll just say shuffling papers. and some other guys are out there on the battlefield. No, I won in the battle. And I'm glad I'm here. That's what we mean by counting it joy and exulting in it. I'm glad I have the privilege to glorify Jesus Christ. 5, God has provided every believer all we will need to prevail through these fiery trials in life. Let's look together at Ephesians 6. Let's look together at Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, and let's read together, 10 through 18. Ephesians 6, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, that's the Holy Spirit. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. That's the angelic realm. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. That's your perseverance. Standing firm. Not wavering from your faith. Verse 14. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, doctrine, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. With all prayer, there's a powerful weapon we have, prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. People, we need to be in prayer for each other. All of us are going through various types of tribulation. Sometimes it's more obvious. Sometimes it's more difficult. 6, it is not the trials and tribulations that happen to you in life, but it's how you view them and how you live through them that becomes the big issue. 7, if you draw near to one who is under fiery trials to help, to restore, to encourage, you should do so in the filling of the Spirit and know that every believer, including yourself, will have your faith tested. Don't judge them. Don't judge them. Encourage them. Restore them. Every one of us will be tested in our faith in various ways. Do not judge one another, but serve one another in spiritual love, which is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Do not say they need more faith. Encourage them as to the object of faith and the glory of the Lord and at the revelation of Jesus Christ. So this is our study. And as we close it, I just want to do this. And Wes, let's close tonight and open our hymnals to the hymn, Am I a Soldier of the Cross? And pay attention now to the words with what we've been studying. It is a powerful, powerful hymn. Do what? Yes. I'm sorry? Yes. That is one aspect of it, and yes, that is one aspect of it. But it is for us. It is for us that we can see in our faith and rejoice with Him in the testing and rejoice in Him at the revelation. Okay, I'm adding to it. Okay. Yes, and I thought I said about angels watching. Angels are watching. Yeah, angels are watching. Man is watching, angels are watching, and we get to look at ourselves. Find out for ourselves. Let's stand and sing 388 as our closing prayer. Pay attention to the words.